Edgar Carret is a master of short fiction, super short fiction, really. He has a magical ability to spin profound meaning from the smallest things. And as I found out the moment I sat down to talk with him, he does the same thing in conversation. Great. And say your name for me. I want to say it as close to your pronunciation as possible.
Oh, wow. You know, even I can't pronounce it properly. It's Edgar Carret. You know, it's funny because it means in Hebrew, Edgar means challenge and Carret means big city. So my name is Urban Challenge, which is a pretty good name for sneakers and a pretty strange name for a human being.
After 25 years of writing only fiction, Carret is publishing a memoir composed of vignettes as short as his stories. It's called The Seven Good Years. Those would be the years between the birth of his son and the death of his father.
I wrote my first nonfiction piece the day my son was born. I think that suddenly I had this kind of sense of future, this idea that I'm not only living in this kind of never-ending present, but that maybe one day my son would want to read it, or, you know, that there is something out there that I have some kind of commitment and responsibility to. And I just kept writing those nonfiction pieces, never thinking that they'll come out in a book. And only when my father became terminally ill, I suddenly had this urge to turn it into a book, you know, and in a way kind of create maybe some kind of a living tombstone for my father and for the family that he was able to have, you know, after passing the Holocaust.
Over the course of this period, you learn lessons from both your son and your father. You call your infant son the first enlightened person you've met. Can you explain that?
Well, I think that I'm a very stressed person and I'm always living both in the past and in the future in that sense that I'm kind of feeling guilty of for many things that I've done, and I feel great anxiety for all the stuff that's going to come, you know. And suddenly when you have a baby or a child and you see how they can be 100% in the present, you know, they don't really care about what happened before, you know, they could have cried for an hour, but in 1 second, you know, you give them ice cream and they're there, you know, they're enjoying the ice cream. Whatever happened is behind them. So this ability to be in the present was something that I kind of discovered through my son, and I actively tried to imitate it, but I'm afraid I'm not very good at it.
In Israel, teaching your children well means teaching them, for instance, what to do during a rocket attack. And there's this kind of beautiful but terrifying moment in the book where you have to apply some creativity to that with your son.
Yes, the thing is that the moment that you hear the alarm, if you're in the middle of a street, then you have 30 seconds, you know, to find a hiding, or if you don't have a hiding, lying on the ground. And I was with my wife and son when the alarm went off, and it was like the first time in his life that he was in a missile attack, and we asked him to lie on the ground. And he said, you know, if it's too dirty to eat from it, you know, when something falls on it, then it's too dirty to lie on it. And you find yourself that you have kind of, I don't know, 25 seconds to convince your son to lie down. And you don't want to be stressful. You don't want to shout at him. So I've suggested to him a game called pastrami sandwich, in which my wife lies on the ground and he lies on her and I lie on him. And together we form this pastrami sandwich. And he kind of liked it because it was warm and cozy. And after the missile attack, he asked me if I can promise him there will be more missile attacks so we can play the game again.
Getting back to your dad and the lessons learned from him, you mentioned, of course, he was a Holocaust survivor. And he had this amazing reaction when he learns that he has terminal cancer.
Yes, well, I think that the thing about him is that he really, really wanted to continue living, but at the same time he felt that, you know, that life had given him a fair deal. You know, he died when he was 84. He survived the Holocaust, you know, losing his sister and losing many people who were close to him. So I think that my father, in many ways, he was kind of like a Yoda for me, you know, giving me all kinds of lessons that were not always clear, but I always kept with me. I remember that when I was 10 years old, I asked him what was the thing that he was most proud of in his life. And he thought for a moment and he said to me, the thing I'm most proud of is the fact that I fought in 6 wars, all of them in the front line, all of them in the infantry, and yet I haven't hurt anybody. And I remember as a kid, I said, okay, I want to be like this man, but I didn't really know what it means. You know, how can you fight in the front line and not hurt anybody? And I guess my father had this talent, you know, not to run away from fights and still be super compassionate and maybe not be a very good shot, you know.
This book was published in Europe last year. It's out here in America this week, but it's not publishing in Israel. It's not going to be published in Hebrew. Why not?
Well, I think that, you know, when you publish a work of fiction, then people can tell you that your book is boring or your book suck. But when you write about your family, people can tell you that your family is boring and that your family sucks. And I feel that there are many intimate details in the book that it's easier for me to share overseas. You know, it's kind of like those stories that you feel comfortable to tell somebody in a bar or on a train, but you wouldn't tell your next door neighbor. So I don't know, like maybe one day I'll publish it in Israel, but right now it feels a little bit too scary and too personal.
That's Edgar Keret. His new memoir is called The Seven Good Years. It's out on Tuesday. Edgar, thank you very much.
Thank you.